Well, hey there, guys. Welcome back to the Zeke Said So show. It has been quite a while, actually. We took a little break last week, but we are back with the Zeke Said So podcast. And let me give off a little disclaimer, okay, guys? Let me just get this out of the way. The reason why we took a hiatus yesterday is because I've been working a new job lately, so that has taken up a lot of my time because, unfortunately, when you have a job that pays you money, you gotta kind of do what the people who signed the check want you to do. That's what happened. I just started a new job, been working, earning a little bit of extra money, but just doing what I gotta do to be the best podcaster on the face of the earth, I guess. So that is just what I've been doing the past week, and I'm gonna start doing more vlog videos. So make sure you're subscribed to my channel. Make sure you got that notification bell turned on, so that you can get notified when a new video goes up, because I'm gonna start doing more vlog videos before then. That's pretty much all the stuff I gotta announce. So let's go ahead and start off with the Zeke Said. Now, a lot now since it has been a week, let me remind you how this show works. We start off with three movie news topics, and then we take your Q&A questions at the end of the show. How do you guys send in the Q&A questions? It's very simple. You just send them in through Instagram and Twitter, all at Zeke Said So, or on YouTube in the comment section on YouTube. Go ahead and comment on the YouTube video, and you'll get your question answered there too. So, let's start off with the movie news topics of the day, and the first one we're going to talk about is this: the Batman. Matt Reeves's The Batman movie has started production. Day one has officially happened, and I gotta tell you guys, I remember when this movie just kept going through writers and kept going through directors. I said, until I see proof about this Batman movie, I'll believe it when I see it. I will believe it when I see it. And now I believe this movie's happening because of the production start date. And so, am I excited for this? Heck yes. With Matt Reeves directing this movie, plus you have Robert Pattinson, who, if you guys haven't seen The Lighthouse with him and Willem Dafoe, go watch that movie, directed by Robert Eggers. It is such a great movie. It's a black and white movie, so I know a lot of people are probably not gonna see it just because it's in black and white. But it is a great movie, and Robert Pattinson just shows why he's more than just the dude from Twilight, and why he's a good choice for the character of Batman. Obviously you have Andy Serkis coming in to play Alfred. You have I think it's Jeffrey Dean. No, not Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jeffrey Wright. There we go. Jeffrey Wright. Who is playing Commissioner Gordon, which is awesome. And I am very much looking forward to the Batman now that it has started production. This production start date has boosted my excitement up just a little bit. Another thing I really want to know is I really want to know I really want to know how Robert Pattinson is going to say, "I'm Batman." Because usually every actor has their moment. Well, I think minus Ben Affleck. I don't think Ben Affleck ever had an "I'm Batman" moment. But every single Batman actor before Ben Affleck had their "I'm Batman" moments. Even George Clooney with the stupid, "Hi, freeze, I'm Batman." Even that was just stupid. But I want to know how Robert Pattinson says it. Maybe he says it like Edward from Twilight. I don't know. God, I hope not. Okay. So let's move on to the next one. And I'm just gonna say this right now, guys. I'll throw this little disclaimer out. Earlier, I was going to have Robert, my good buddy Robert the Ghostwriter Martinez, on the show today. But unfortunately, he has a different schedule than I do, so I had to do the show without him. The show must go on. But man, I wish he was here to talk about this with me, because they just Hasbro has announced that they are doing more Transformers movies, and those Transformers projects that are in the works are a Bumblebee sequel and a Beast Wars movie. And I gotta say, I love the fact that Hasbro is moving forward with Transformers stuff, especially after how great Bumblebee was. There is potential in this franchise. Even though, yes, the other four movies after the first Michael Bay Transformers movie haven't been great. I mean, at least for me, I think the third one is actually really, really great. I think the third one is actually the second best, just behind Bumblebee, actually. I really love that third one, Dark of the Moon, I think it was called. But all the other ones, Age of Extinction, Revenge of the Fallen, The Last Knight, have all been garbage movies. But then we have Bumblebee, which was fantastic, directed by Travis Knight. I hope Travis Knight comes back to direct the sequel, since he's no longer doing Uncharted. That's Sony's fault. And Uncharted just got delayed as well. So, I mean, that just proves that Sony has no idea what they're doing with that movie. But the question I had to pose was, is the Transformers franchise a big deal now? Is it a big deal now? Now, I think yes, because after what Bumblebee did critically, and after what it did financially, because financially it made a lot of money, not as much as the other movies, but it did make a lot of money. It's a big deal now. People are excited about Transformers again, because it's just like when those Michael Bay movies came out. The more they went on, the more they started losing an audience. Just like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And I actually liked the Pirates of the Caribbean movies until the fourth one. Like, the fourth one for me was just the only one where I was like, yeah, it was fine. But I actually liked the first three. I actually still really like the first three movies. Those first three movies, man, are still really good. That's a good solid trilogy right there. Even though the third one has some weird things going on in that movie, but anyway, back to Transformers. That's what Transformers was. It was a franchise that was getting worse and worse with every movie, and it was also losing an audience. That's not happening anymore. That's not happening with the after what happened with Bumblebee, after what happened with well, more so Bumblebee, because Bumblebee was really the only one that came out after Michael Bay's era of Transformers garbage. But I think there is hype for this now, and I think the big difference between Transformers and Pirates is that, unfortunately, everyone thought Pirates 5 was going to be the one that kind of rebooted the franchise and really brought it back into the main core audience again, and it really wasn't. Whereas Bumblebee, everyone thought that this movie would be good and that it would bring back the fun that was introduced in that, not so much in the, well, really in the first Transformers movie. Because the first Transformers movie, despite all of its issues, had a lot of fun in it. And people were hoping that Bumblebee could bring back that same amount of fun, and it actually exceeded everyone's expectations and really revived this franchise. Whereas with Pirates, it's a different situation. Pirates of the Caribbean kind of dwindled down until it just fell flat on its face with that fifth movie. So, but which I now the Transformers movies are a big deal now. They are a big deal. And Beast Wars, I don't know a lot about Beast Wars. Again, it's why I wish Robert was here to talk to me about Beast Wars, because I want to know what Beast Wars is now. Like, I would really love to just sit down and kind of delve deep into like the Transformers Beast Wars thing, because I'm not that die hard. I'm not like truly die hard Transformer. I don't know everything about Transformers like Robert does, but that's why I wish he had joined the podcast. But okay, it's all right. Again, guys, this show is hard to schedule. It really is. It is a very hard show to schedule. Okay. Now we get to the third movie news topic and the final topic, which is this. The Birds of Prey Twitter reactions have hit the internets. And I am actually going to bring them up on my phone here. I actually do record the podcast on my phone, so you might hear a bit tapping going on, because I am going to look up these Twitter reactions and try to see what I can find for you guys. Ba 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 I cannot find it. I'm trying to find it, guys. Sorry. Yes. Okay, there it goes. The Birds of Prey Twitter reactions have come out. We started out with Julian at Cinema. At Julian at Cinema says, "What the SHIT? Birds of Prey is a mind F of a movie that doesn't give two SH, yet still manages to be emotional and kind of grounded. It does whatever the heck it wants and knows you're on board. Everybody's great, but Ewan effing kills it. The craziest comic book movie I've ever seen. 9 out of 10." So there's one. Let me see. Let's see if I can find another one here. Very quickly, I'm gonna find one. I'm going to find one. I hope I find one. I really hope I can find one. Man, it's hard going through Twitter, having to go through Twitter and find all these reactions when you don't have them screenshotted. That's the thing. I did not prep the show good enough to get them screenshotted, so I'm like literally looking through all these. I'm literally scrolling through just so I can find a tweet to actually. Let me see. Still trying to find another reaction, at least one more reaction, so that I can actually talk, so that I can actually talk about it. So I can actually react to some of these reactions. So far, one of the things I will say I think about the reactions is that, it is just, it's interesting to see that everyone, because what Robert brought up on one of the episodes of the Zeke Central show is that the trailers felt more like another version of Suicide Squad. And Suicide Squad, I think the problem with that movie was that it was a movie that was the result of a studio not letting a director go about his vision. A studio was interfering in a director's vision. And what it sounds like with Birds of Prey is that it sounds like the director was able to do whatever she wanted to do with this movie and actually craft something that is good. And here's another one from at then ow now. I have no idea. But it says, "Just got out of Birds of Prey. It was a ton of fun. The action is supreme, and Margot Robbie kills it as Harley Quinn." Okay, so I'm trying to look for more Twitter reaction. I'm not gonna, That's good. We'll stop right there. So, those are the Birds of Prey reactions. Again, it just looks like this movie is actually another good step for the DC cinematic universe. And hopefully we get more movies like, I mean, hopefully I'll watch Birds of Prey, and hopefully I'll wait and see what happens with it. All right, so now let's move on to the next Q&A questions. All right, so let's move on with the Q&A questions. The first one is thoughts on a live action Bambi remake. Oh my gosh. Disney, what are you doing? Have you learned nothing from what happened with Lion King? Now look, guys, I actually was one of the people who liked the new Lion King movie. I did. I liked it a lot. In fact, it was an honorable mention for my best movies of the year. Was it in my top 10? No. But it was a solid honorable mention. And the more I watch it, the more I'm like, yeah, I can see where people are coming from. Because, yes, I understand. The animals show no emotion. But honestly, I don't. The more I watch it, the more I don't really care. I still like it because to me, it's such a visual spectacle. It's so visually beautiful that I just love that movie. But now we're getting a live action Bambi. And Bambi is a movie where, how can I put this? Nothing freaking happens in the original. Nothing happens in the original Bambi. It's literally just about the life of a deer. That's it. The only interesting thing that happens in Bambi is that his mom gets shot. That's it. I'm not even joking either. That's not even supposed to be a joke. It is true. The only interesting thing that happens in Bambi is that his mom gets shot. That's it. But look, we're getting a live action remake. It's gonna be in the vein of Lion King where it's gonna be photoreal animals, which again, Disney, have you learned nothing from what people were complaining? Everyone kept calling Lion King soulless, dull, unoriginal. Just stop doing these animal, doing these. Unless it's something like Jungle Book where you're going to have a human character who interacts with the animals, then that's fine. But please just do not have another movie where it's just the animals. At least let it be something like Lady and the Tramp or like Jungle Book where it is humans kind of interacting with the world of the animals, and even Lady and the Tramp did it I think better than Lion King where they actually did have the animals express some form of emotion. You actually get to see the dog's eyes move as like a normal human eyes, which was kind of awkward. I'm not gonna lie. It looked a little, there were times where it did look a little weird, but because this is gonna be in the vein of Lion King, they're just gonna be photoreal and they're not gonna show any emotion. And I don't wanna have that conversation again with people. I don't wanna have that, I just don't. I'm done. And look, this is coming from someone who is all for these Disney remakes, man. I've been a supporter of these Disney remakes. Even when they have turned out to be bad, like Maleficent, I have been all for them. And this is just one of those instances where I'm just like, stop. Just like with Lilo and Stitch, they're remaking Lilo and Stitch, and I'm just like, why? That movie is good the way it is. Just leave it alone. Anyway, next question is, have you seen Bad Boys for Life yet? No, I have not. I'm hoping to see it. Well, this is going up on Saturday, so by the time you guys listen to this, I will have already seen it. But as of this recording, I'm recording this on a Friday night, January the 31st. I have not seen it yet. So no, haven't seen Bad Boys for Life yet, but I am hoping to see it very, very soon, actually. Let me see. Are you excited for Black Widow? Kinda. I do have to see another trailer to get me excited, but I'll say that I'm interested. I am interested. Who's winning Best Picture at the Oscars? Oh, 19, either 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I would say Jojo Rabbit, but Jojo Rabbit really hasn't had any wins for any of the awards, which is sad because that's my favorite movie of last year. And it hasn't won anything. But I really do think it's either 1917 or Once Upon a Time. And if either of those movies win, I won't have a problem with it. Like, this is the first year in my time of watching the Oscars where I am okay with any movie on that list winning. I'm okay with it. Even Little Women. I just watched Little Women recently, and it's a great movie. And I'm fine. If it wins Best Picture, that's good. If Parasite wins Best Picture, great. But for me, if you had to ask me for my predictions, who's going to win Best Picture, I would say probably 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's either those two for me. Where are those videos at, bro? They're coming, man. They're coming. I'm going to do more vlog videos, so make sure you just hit that. Stay subscribed and hit that notification bell. They're coming. Thoughts on Obi-Wan being delayed. Okay, here we go. So this is where Zeke's gonna be getting in a rant for a second. So you guys know I have been very critical over Star Wars. Ever since Solo, I've been very, very critical over Star Wars. By the choices Kathleen Kennedy has made to the movie's not being that great. Even Rise of Skywalker, after reading that Colin Trevorrow script, I hate that movie now. I hate the Rise of Skywalker with a burning passion. This news sucks. They're delaying Obi-Wan. Why? Because the scripts are bad. Of course, Kathleen Kennedy. Of course, the scripts are bad to you. But you said the same thing about Colin Trevorrow's script, and guess what? I read it, and I think it's one of the best Star Wars scripts written. Honestly, I think if you would have let Colin Trevorrow turn that script into a movie, bet you $5 it would have been the best movie since Empire Strikes Back. It would have been the best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back. Bet you $5. You would have had people screaming to the rooftop how it was one of the One, it was this generation's Empire Strikes Back, which isn't true. Infinity War is, but whatever. But this just goes to show she has no idea what she's doing. Kathleen Kennedy has no idea what she's doing, and she needs to go. I'm sorry. Look, she has turned billion-dollar films. There's no doubt about it. Force Awakens, billion-dollar movie. Rogue One, billion-dollar movie. Last Jedi, billion-dollar movie. Rise of Skywalker, billion-dollar movie. Solo is the only one that wasn't a billion-dollar movie. But this is ridiculous. I'm getting so sick and tired of hearing that a Star Wars project is in trouble because of her saying, "Oh, well, the scripts aren't where they want to be. We want to boost those scripts up." No, it's you who's the problem. You're not letting these directors do what they want to do. You let Rian Johnson do whatever the heck he wanted to do, and look how that turned out. But you won't let JJ do what he wants to do. You won't let Colin Trevorrow do what he wants to do. You won't let Phil Lord and Chris Miller do what they want to do. You won't let but you'll let Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni do whatever the heck they want to do, which is fine. They're doing a great job of Mandalorian. That's good on them. But now you're gonna limit these the showrunners for Obi-Wan because all the scripts aren't where they want to be, where we want them to be. If they end up saying that this show isn't happening, that's gonna suck because Ewan McGregor was so excited when he came out on stage at D23. I saw that reaction video. He was so excited when he walked out on stage and said, "Yes, I'm finally playing Obi-Wan. Yay!" Was that all BS? Are you telling me that that was all BS, Kathleen Kennedy? Anyway, I know it's just a Star Wars movie, but this is just getting on my nerves. I'm getting really sick and tired of this. Hearing that Kathleen Kennedy is having creative troubles with a director. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm so tired of it. And I think it's just best, it is best if Kathleen Kennedy just leaves. Just get out of there. Get the heck out of Dodge now, because you are the reason why Star Wars isn't Star Wars. I'm serious. I'm not. There's going to be a bunch of people who yell at me on Twitter and Instagram, but I'm just going to speak. I'm not here to lie to you guys. I'm here to speak my opinion. And my opinion is Kathleen Kennedy is the worst executive in Hollywood because she is grasping on to creative freedoms. She's not letting these directors or these writers be creative. She just wants safe, boring garbage. And look, that worked with The Force Awakens. That worked with Force Awakens. But every Star Wars movie after Force Awakens had to take risk. Even Rise of Skywalker. But what did Rise of Skywalker do? Played it safe, and look how that movie turned out. A sloppy, messy, boring movie is what Rise of Skywalker turned out being. And one of the worst Star Wars movies I have ever seen. Like, honestly, I think it's not as bad as Phantom Menace, but it's up, it's down there. It's really down there for me. I hate that movie so much. So, anyway, what do I know? What do I know? I'm just the guy who writes his own scripts, who's trying to get a short film made. What do I know? Anyway, whatever. I don't know what to say anymore. Kathleen Kennedy's not going to get out of office because I told her to. She's not going to listen to someone like me. She doesn't listen to any of the fans. That's what she is. That's the type of person she is. Kathleen Kennedy does not listen to people. She doesn't care about what the fans have to say about these new Star Wars movies. She's like, F y'all, these movies are making money. I don't have to get off of the chair. Well, you should, because you are a drag to this Star Wars universe. Anyway, I'm just gonna move on to the next question, which is, who is a better villain, Darth Vader or Thanos? Oh, easy, that's Darth Vader. I mean, look, I love Thanos, don't get me wrong. what is, I know what it's like to lose, to feel so desperately that you're right, and to fail all the same. That's, I love Thanos, obviously, but, Darth Vader is the best movie villain that's ever been made. He's the most iconic, and he is a character. He's the most dimen. He has the most dimensions, because with Thanos we only got one movie. Granted, we got a lot of fleshed out. We got a lot of cameos with him leading up to that one movie. But we didn't really know who he was until Infinity War came out. We didn't know what his motivation was until Infinity War came out. Because before Infinity War, he was just a power-hungry villain. And even Endgame took that character and made him a power-hungry villain, you know? But, it with Darth Vader, we knew who he was. He's the guy who wiped out the Jedi. He's the one who hunted all the Jedi down and made them go into hiding and made them go extinct. We know who this guy is from the beginning of episode 4 until the end of Return of the Jedi. We know he is a fully fleshed out character with a fully fleshed out arc. And Thanos is kind of the same way. But Thanos only had two moves. Thanos had one full movie to be fleshed out. And then even in Endgame, he wasn't really in the movie enough. In fact, the Thanos we got in Infinity War dies within the first 5 minutes of Endgame. Sorry, spoilers. But that's true. That is true. So, anyway. But yeah, Darth Vader is the best villain by far. Staying on topic of Disney live action remakes, do you think we will get a live action remake of The Emperor's New Groove? I don't think we should. I really don't. Unless you do something completely different from the original. Like, example, I don't know if you guys know this, but Emperor's New Groove was originally going to be a movie called Kingdom in the Sun. And it was going to be like this more epic movie with a lot of darkness to it, some humor, but really it was a, it felt more like The Lion King, where it was, where there was some humor, but there was also a lot of sadness, a lot of darkness to it. But with, but then, you know, that movie went through story troubles, and then they canceled that story and made it into, and transformed it into The Emperor's New Groove, which is what we know it as today. Which, by the way, Emperor's New Groove is like my, in my top 10 favorite Disney movies of all time. I love The Emperor's New Groove. But that movie does not translate to live action. Whereas you can easily do something new. You can bring in the king, some elements of Kingdom in the Sun and make that into a live action movie. You could. You could even bring the original songs from Emperor's New Groove and Kingdom in the Sun and make it a full-on live action musical. Now, granted, they won't be able, you won't have that nostalgia factor going in, but it will feel more original. Whereas a lot of these live action remakes, as much as I support them, I do, I support them, because I'm a sucker for them. Whereas a lot of these live action remakes really try to do a little bit of a shot for shot thing because of nostalgia. Emperor's New Groove, you can't do that with, because Emperor's New Groove is more of a die hard all the way through. You're laughing throughout the entire movie from beginning to end, you know? And there's even some fourth wall breaking in that movie. And you can't have that in the live action remake because you're never going to replicate that type of humor. You're just not going to be able to. But if it were up to me, I'd say if you're going to do something completely different with Emperor's New Groove, then you know, you can remake it as long as you're going to do something different, not the same movie. You know, because that movie is just impossible to bring to live action. I'm just, that's just me though. And honestly, if it were up to me, heck, reboot Tarzan, which don't get me wrong, Tarzan's my favorite. My all-time favorite Disney live-action movie. But after what they did with Jungle Book, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. You know? Because you're having humans interacting with the animals. But also, you can reboot Disney movies that aren't so great, like Atlantis. Atlantis is a great one to reboot, because that movie's not great. But you can reboot it and make it even better than the animated version. Or what they're doing with Mulan, it looks like Mulan, even though I love Mulan. Looks like what they're doing with Mulan is that they're going in a different direction so it can stand on its own. You can have the same story as the original as long as you stand on your own. Do something different with the story. You know, like what Jungle Book did. Jungle Book, obviously, the original is about Mowgli going to the man village. This one, the new one, the 2016 one, is about Mowgli going to the man village, but some. But the way the story goes and the way it eventually ends is different than the animated film. To the point where it's actually left open for a sequel. It is. So, anyway. All right, let's move on to the final question. And the final question is, what are your top five favorite Disney animated movies? Pixar does not count. Ah, man. Okay. Well, okay. I guess if Pixar doesn't count, we'll go with it. Top five favorite Disney animated movies. Okay, I'll start with number five. Number five, Moana. I love that movie. Directed by John Musker and Ron Clements, who directed another movie, which I will mention very shortly, but I love that movie. It's got a great soundtrack, a great voice cast. It's got some issues, don't get me wrong, there are some issues, but I overall really love that movie. Such a charming little movie, and a lot of people don't really think it's one of the, it's up there at the top five, but I really do think it is. At number four, I have Jungle Book, the original, the OG. That movie's fantastic. It again does have issues, a couple issues in it, that thankfully the live action remake actually improved upon. I still overall really love the original, and I have a soft spot in my heart for it. Plus, look for the bare necessities. Listen, okay, well, we all know how the song goes. Anyway, at number three, we have Aladdin, another movie once again directed by John Musker and Ron Clements. That movie's fantastic. I was actually just watching the original Aladdin just a couple days ago, and it's amazing. It's an amazing movie. I love Aladdin. And honestly, I think I love the ending of that movie too, man. That movie ends in such a beautiful way. At number two, we obviously have The Lion King. The Lion King has to be in your top five because that movie's fantastic. That movie's brilliant. I love that movie. Yes, the live action remake doesn't even come close to how perfect the original movie is. Like that original live action movie, the original Lion King movie animated is perfect on every level. So, and at number one, obviously, if you guys have been following my channel for any period of time, it's Tarzan. Tarzan really hits me on a personal level, but it also kind of is, I get emotional every time I watch it. Every time I watch that movie, I get so emotional. And it's one of the reasons why I think it deserves the live action treatment, because I think what you can do with Tarzan, you can make it even more emotional and more impactful than the animated version itself. And that would be perfect. I would love to see that. So going down my top five again, I got Moana number five, number four is Jungle Book, number three is Aladdin, number two The Lion King, and number one we have Tarzan. I'll bring up some honorable mentions. Obviously, Hunchback of Notre Dame is like an honorable mention. Emperor's New Groove is another one. The first Wreck-It Ralph, Pinocchio. I think that's really it. I'll have to come up with a top 10 list at some point, and just kind of put that up on my YouTube channel or my podcast, really. But that will do it for this week's episode of the Zeke Zetzel Show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you guys are leaving reviews on whatever podcasting app you're listening to this episode on. Make sure you always leave a review because it does help more people hear it. It helps more. It spreads the word around, and that's what we need. And if you want to support the podcast, there's a viewer support feature where you can donate any amount of money to help support the Zeke Zetzel podcast feed. And also make sure you check out the sponsor of this podcast, which is Anchor Podcasting. The link is going to be there in the description of this podcast for of this episode for you guys. So this podcast is available on all sorts of podcasting apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker Radio, and all sorts of good stuff, wherever you get your podcast, Anchor as well. So, thank you so much for listening, guys. And if you guys like this podcast, make sure you leave a review and spread the word. And I'll talk to you guys later. Peace out.